First of all, why do you want to be a U.S. senator, and why do you think you can do a better job than the incumbent we have now?
I think it's time that we in California have a debate on the issues, on the values, and the priorities that we care deeply about. California has changed quite dramatically in over the past 25 years, and I believe that this is a very dangerous time in our nation's history. And we need representation, a voice in Washington that won't be on the sidelines, but rather on the front lines, defending vigorously the policies, the values that we care deeply about, whether it's climate change, whether it's the environment, the air that we breathe and the water that we drink, whether it is our immigrant families and growing this economy and putting people to work, especially in the clean energy space. So I think that California is long overdue to have a debate on these issues and who we want to represent us in Washington.
Senator Feinstein would probably say she has not been on the sidelines. She's been quite active and has done a lot with her power and seniority in the Senate. Do you think she has not done a good job?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Senator Feinstein, but I'm not running against her as much as I'm running to lead. There's a whole variety of issues where California should be the number one voice in Washington. For example, the issue of climate change and the environment. That leading voice should be from California in Washington. The issue on immigration. For example, we have the vast majority of immigrants, both legal as well as undocumented. The vast majority of Dreamers in the country live in California. And that leading voice to finalize a deal on comprehensive immigration reform should be California. And that should be a U.S. senator from another state. Therefore, that's why I think it's time that we do have this debate.
She has gotten in trouble a couple of times for seeming to give the president the benefit of the doubt and at least saying, well, this is a chance for him. I still hope he can be a good leader. Let's see if he can be strong. Is that a mistake for her to hope for that? Or I mean, is time up already for Donald Trump and we're past that?
I think the word here is the word patience, the word that she used at the San Francisco Commonwealth Club. And I just don't believe that a child who has asthma, that you can ask her for patience because the quality of our air. 8 of the top 10 most polluted cities in America are here in California. For a single mother who is trying to find a job and who's either unemployed or underemployed, you can ask her to be patient, to wait to see if the president's going to be a good president. For a family who's been here for 20, 25 years, and they've been waiting to normalize their legal status and are in fear of detention and deportation by Donald Trump and by Jeff Sessions, you can't ask them to be patient. So I believe that there is a huge disconnection with the reality of what is happening in our communities, in our neighborhoods in California, in comparison to what's happening in Washington, D.C.
And so if you were our U.S. senator instead of Feinstein, how would you push back? What would you do once you got there to change the situation?
Well, three big issues that I think need to be championed from California are the issues of climate change and how we have created upwards up to 500,000 jobs in the clean energy space in California alone. That means we have 10 times more jobs in the clean energy space in California than there are coal mining jobs in all of America. Washington has not produced any of those jobs. The issue of healthcare. We still have 3 million Californians without access to quality healthcare, and we have millions more who do have health coverage. However, the premiums and out-of-pocket costs are way too expensive. And finally, the issue of immigration reform. We need someone who's going to be very proactive and elevate this to a national level, even if Democrats are in the minority. With the current political makeup in Washington, you have to have the leadership that elevates it to a national level. And that simply hasn't been done in the past 25 years with the current representation that we have.
You mentioned health care. I mean, you've been supporting the single-payer plan in California. Would you try to push something like that at a federal level? And how do you pay for it, whether it's federal or at the state level?
And there's a whole variety of ways to pay for it, but I can tell you this, in California, Californians are paying for single-payer health coverage without receiving the benefits of universal health care The reality is this. It doesn't make a difference if you're Latino, African-American, white, Asian-American, racially mixed, if you're from Northern California or Southern California, Democrat or Republican. Healthcare is healthcare. And healthcare today is way too expensive. It bankrupts many, many families. And if given an opportunity to be the voice for California, I would fight for a universal healthcare system so everyone has access to quality healthcare. We have the issues of federal subsidies that currently exist in terms of Medicare in Washington. And there's other ways of actually creating a model, a financial model, to pay for universal healthcare. But we're paying for it dearly today with so many families that are filing for bankruptcy because they show up in an emergency room and a Band-Aid and perhaps a few stitches ends up costing a family $5,000, $6,000. That's ridiculous. And we need to have a voice that's going to deal with healthcare reform and fighting for universal healthcare system. Now, be mindful about one thing. You know, when you're in Washington, doesn't necessarily mean that your presence is the panacea to every socioeconomic and political ill. But what folks want is they want a fighter and someone who they feel and trust is going to fight for them every single day to improve the quality of life and to provide real opportunities for them as well as their children.
All right, now to get there, you're going to have to knock off an entrenched, pretty well entrenched incumbent. And she's obviously got a lot more money than you do and has raised a lot more. How confident are you that you can get into the top two and that once you're there, you can take this fight to her in an effective way in November?
Well, I'm cognizant that I'm running against a billionaire who's been a politician for more than 50 years, 25 of those years in the U.S. Senate. But when I engage with voters up and down the state of California, regardless, again, of their background, their ethnicity, their socioeconomic level, many folks are attracted to the message of fighting for our values, California values in Washington. And heck, things have always been tough for me. Things have not been handed to me. It won't be the first time folks have said that you can't do this. But my goal is to get into the second place runoff, and that changes the complexity of the Senate election come fall. But, you know, knock on wood, I'm going to keep my nose to the grindstone, stay focused. That's why half the county board of supervisors from San Francisco have endorsed me. Seven of the 10 city council members from San Jose, including the vice mayor, have endorsed me. The mayor of San Mateo has endorsed me, and a whole host of other elected officials on the East Bay Contra Costa side, Alameda County side, have endorsed me as well.
Do you fear at all that possible? And we've had a poll that the Republican, one of these Republicans, Patrick Little, this neo-Nazi, somehow is polling very well. That maybe a Republican beats you on the and gets into the top two primary, or is that something you're not that worried about?
Well, my goal is to roll up my sleeves as I have been doing, keep my nose to the grindstone, and keep engaging with many voters up and down the state of California to make sure I get into that second spot. It's absolutely critical, and if we want to have a different voice of change and a choice, a different choice, a newer choice. That's my hope, that people will grant me the honor with their vote.
Would it help you if a Republican got the number two spot in the governor's race instead of Antonio Villaraigosa, for example, so that progressive donors might coalesce behind you?
Well, you know, I haven't thought about that way. You know, to his and her own, I wish every candidate the very best. Again, I'm focused on the U.S. Senate seat, and I wish everyone the very best in the governor's race.
Sure. And one last thing, and then I'll let you go. How much do you think that, you know, you're running against a woman. We know this is the year of Me Too. Given, you know, that your own housemate is part of the problem or seen as part of the problem, one of the guys who's in trouble. How concerned are you that being a man running against a woman in a year like this, it's a disadvantage?
Well, I don't think it's a disadvantage because I am an elected official who has always promoted women in the California State Senate and some of the most progressive measures in the country. Equal pay for women doing equal work as their male counterpart. Yes means yes, changing the legal paradigm from no means no for young women who have been sexually assaulted on our college campuses throughout California. My political team is run by women. 75% of the senior staff of my political campaign team are women. My campaign manager and consultant is a woman. So I've always promoted, you know, women and put them in positions of power to make very important decisions that have positive impacts on all individuals, whether you're male or female. This has been my campaign. And I think that, you know, when Marie Claire magazine has named me top 10 elected officials in North America, or the United States of America, I should say, that has done more for women, I think that's a positive sign. I have a lot of women who've endorsed my candidacy up and down the state of California. So I feel good, and I feel good with the women's vote.